Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. Today, every federal agency operates in an environment where budgets are tightening and the demand for services seem to be increasing. Agencies need to be more effective and more efficient with the resources they have. And the U.S. General Services Administration's Federal Acquisition Service, FAS, works to support federal agencies to do just that. FAS seeks to assist agencies to save time and money by supporting smarter purchasing platforms. What are the strategic priorities for GSA's Federal Acquisition Service, FAS? How has category management benefited federal acquisition? And what is the Making It Easier initiative? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Kevin Yule Page, Deputy Commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service, FAS, within the U.S. General Services Administration. Kevin, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is Kunal Saravanshi. Kunal, welcome.
Happy to be here.
So, Kevin, would you start off giving us an overview of the mission of the U.S. General Services Administration's Federal Acquisition Service, FAS? How has it evolved to date?
Well, sure. FAS is the only civilian agency in the federal government whose mission is acquisition. We do almost $5 billion a year of assisted acquisition procurement for our customers. We manage travel solutions, card solutions, transportation, and many other things besides. The FAS mission has always been to use FAS's acquisition expertise to leverage the buying power of the federal government and to help our agencies to be more efficient and effective, to make it easier, faster, and less costly for agencies to get what they need to meet their missions. So about 3 years ago, Tom Sharp launched a new vision for FAS, and that was to help us improve our ability to make FAS the federal acquisition marketplace. We wanted to transform our organization from one that was focused on providing contracts into a neutral home for acquisition expertise and category management expertise. We wanted to become more transparent and provide agencies across government with the tools and expertise they needed, no matter where it resided in the federal government or industry, to make the right buying decisions. So the real vision 3 years ago was to focus on three critical elements. We wanted FAS to give you the best value, no matter where it comes from. We wanted ourselves to provide better contracts and solutions. We wanted to offer pre-positioned, customer-focused contracts to meet the agency requirements. And we also wanted to make sure that we communicated the full spectrum of service that FAS offers. We're well known for delivering contract access to our multiple award schedules and to our GWAC IDIQs and others. But we wanted to let people know we do assisted acquisition at a higher service level. And beyond that, we're more and more moving into the shared services space with things like our fleet offerings and other IT offerings that we manage. So really to make this government marketplace happen, we evolved FAS. And the mission was to take on four big initiatives to bring that vision to life. One was category management. We wanted to follow the private sector best practice and make sure that FAS was aligned to offer products and services the way industry was aligned to deliver them, and that we were simultaneously making that marketplace by lining up our agency demand to best fit into those commercial practices. So category management divided up federal spending into key categories, and we are convening teams around government to line up demand with the ability of industry to meet that demand. To help with that, we developed a concept, and our second strategy was to develop the common acquisition platform. Because organizing the government spending is a tremendous change management effort, we needed a place that could become the focal point for that change management. The Common Acquisition Platform, the vision was to create that marketplace that would create transparency, what contracts are available, regardless of who awarded them, and to give people tools and advice and unbiased places to come and understand where they could best meet their mission value through category management. So the CAP program is designed to be a major data play to bring people into a common environment to understand the marketplace and make their best decisions for their missions. And we've also worked the shared services concept into CAP. We run the integrated award environment and have a lot of data around federal acquisition that could really enable that conversation. And then very internally focused so that FAS would succeed in a more competitive marketplace, federal marketplace, we were working on our own business model modernization, our third strategy. And this was really to take a new look at our typically contract-driven approaches to business and recast them as category approaches to business. So we really worked with industry and with our partners in government to develop the Network Services 2020 vision, which was a category management strategy to recast the way we would be going to market now for network services. We have engaged in a mass transformation initiative to radically rethink the way we manage that tremendously important federal program. And beyond that, we left depots, for example. We no longer hold any inventory in the Federal Acquisition Service. So we exited our depots and are now engaged fully in a fourth-party logistics strategy for managing our logistics and supply chain. So in many areas of the FAST business, we've been examining what service level we're operating at, moving it up the service level queue where appropriate, and working on ways to make our operations more lean and effective so that we can pass those savings on to our customers. And last and not least, our fourth strategy was to expand the amount of assisted acquisition work we were doing because our customers were very pleased when we were doing the work with them and for them, much more so than when we were handing them contracts that they could go and do a lot of work to make work for them.
So you kind of hinted at it, but operationally, you kind of talked about the organization itself. But what kind of budget are we looking at and how many folks are in FAS?
Well, FAS helps support more than $50 billion in products and services to the government each year. That's just about one in five federal dollars spent in procurement. We have, I guess the best way to think of us is FAS is just a big nonprofit here to serve our partner agencies in mission delivery. Other than a few small programs, we're not appropriated by Congress, and very little of what we do is mandatory. So we have to make sure our partners feel that we're their best option, and then we cover our costs through a fee recovery approach. We have about 3,000 employees all across the country. That's down from about 4,000 several years ago. So we've seen significant trimming of our costs in the last several years. And these employees are really all around the country. They're also in Europe. We have folks in the Pacific Rim. We have folks who deploy with our troops sometimes to the Middle East. We've had deployed folks in Afghanistan and Iraq in the past. So we feel it's very important to live where our customers live and to try to be as close to them as we can, how we deploy our folks. In terms of footprint, I guess enterprise-wide, we operate through a central office hub here in Washington, D.C. We also have 11 regions across the country, and we've been reorganizing recently to make sure that our organization, our regional structure, and our central office structure lines up well on category management. There really is an effort underway to make sure that the lens through which we view our business is customer category. While we have a regional presence, we see that regional presence as being primarily driven by being close to customer or being a source of strategic human capital for us. There are wonderful people all over this country, and we want to be able to tap into those sources of talent. And of course, you know, we talk about the footprint of FAS, and we can talk about that also in terms of the services we offer. We have the multiple award schedule I talked about. It represents about 21% of that federal spending. We have more than 16,900 contracts that span all the categories that FAS supports. More than 28 million supplies and services are available through the multiple award schedule. And in FY 2016, the sales that were supported by the schedule were $42.9 billion. That was $33 billion through the GSA schedules. I might add over 81% of those contracts are held by small business. We also know that almost $10 billion was spent under the VA schedules. The VA runs under a delegated authority, health-related multiple award schedules. And that $10 billion doesn't include the fourth quarter, so you can only imagine. We support state and local sales through the schedule of almost $874 million a year. And the professional services schedules sales themselves are $6.3 billion, so a significant support of professional services. We're also well known for our government-wide acquisition contracts. These are focused on IT. We supported over $6 billion in IT volume last year in FY16. And the network services contracts, which is a suite of contracts, including networks and others, we're supporting over $2.6 billion worth of federal spending. So anyway, we are very proud of the footprint we have and the support that we give across a wide variety of services and needs.
Very impressive. So, Kevin, what are your duties and responsibilities as the FAS Deputy Commissioner, and how do your efforts support GSA's overall mission?
I really see my job as helping to set the conditions for FAS to succeed, and then more importantly, to set the conditions for our FAS associates to succeed within that framework. Our executive team works periodically to create a vision and the metrics and for everyone to operate within. And as such, we've worked the three-year vision I talked about. And we really taking that leadership team through developing the strategic vision and the strategic plan is a big part of what we do. And then keeping people honest and focused on those outcomes. Equally important, we think giving the FAS associates the tools they need that they can flourish and do well within that context is a key objective. It's very complicated, as you might imagine, working the vast array of programs. Some of the tools aren't as effective as they need to be, so a big part of the chief operating officer's job or my job is to make sure that new tools are being introduced to the workforce that will help them do their jobs better. Our Commissioner Tom Sharp took the idea last year, stole it actually, from the Secretary of Labor, who spoke to a group of SES gathering about the inverted pyramid. And it's really a servant leadership model. It's a lot like it sounds. The idea of the inverted pyramid is that the employees, the associates, are at the top of the pyramid. They are where the rubber meets the road. They are the most important asset of the organization. They interface with our customers. They interface with the public. And below them on the pyramid, supporting them, are their supervisors and managers who are trying to keep their work organized and make sure that they're getting what they need to do their jobs. And then below all of that are the executives like me and like Tom Sharp, who are, and our regional commissioners and assistant commissioners in FAS, really trying to give the vision and the direction and an enabling environment that will let people raise their hand and raise tough questions about why it's hard for us to serve our customers better and give them the space and freedom to do that, and then give them the reward of giving them better tools and processes and support for doing that work. So it's critical we keep our associates engaged. They are our customer satisfaction engine, and that's how we see the role of senior leadership at FAS.
So, you know, Kevin, regarding your duties and responsibilities, what you've just outlined, what are some of your, like, say, top management challenges that you face, and how have you sought to address those challenges?
Well, I guess let me just start one step to the left of FAS. Right now, I see one of the biggest challenges we face in a meta context is really making public service cool again. And we're obviously very engaged in trying to do some game-changing change around the federal acquisition system with category management and repositioning FAS to support that. And one of the challenges is doing that in an environment where public service isn't necessarily valued in the way it has been in the past. And so all change is hard, and making revolutionary change in the acquisition system is hard. And so that, I'd say, is the primary challenge, doing it in the context where we're not necessarily always called the best and the brightest, is deeply, deeply difficult. Before I joined the federal government, I worked at the World Bank and I was a consultant working on infrastructure projects in East Asia. And I would go for 3 weeks at a time to countries over there who were struggling to build a road that would connect the north and south part of their country, for example. And it was maybe a $150 million project. And we'd struggle for 3 weeks on good governance and on relocating people properly and on making sure that the road was not a road to nowhere and, those kinds of things. And I would fly back from 3 weeks working to make a single road project of $150 million happen, and I would land at Dulles, and I would drive past $10 billion worth of infrastructure that no one thinks about, because American public servants, whether local, state, or federal, made that happen, and people weren't even aware it was. I mean, we complained about our roads. Trust me, you haven't experienced good infrastructure until you've landed, in the Western world again from being overseas. So, being a public servant and being an ethical and dedicated public servant is something we really need to value. And a big challenge in making this change happen is doing this change in a context where that isn't commonly understood or commonly agreed to.
So, Kevin, given your background in the private sector, international development, now with FAS, what are the characteristics that make one an effective leader, and what are some of your leadership principles that guide your efforts?
when I think back on all the people I've worked with and for, the thing that I've always valued is that servant leader, is the person whose idea of leadership isn't to tell me what to do, but to ask me what we should do and to help me see a future that is brighter or is more interesting in some way. And so on my best days, I see myself as trying to be a servant leader and embody those norms. As I learned about senior leadership in some of our executive development programs around government and as I've studied it myself, a real key component of being a servant leader isn't just kumbaya about being good to the people working with you and for you, but it really is leading with a strong sense of ethics. And I think Bob Greenleaf wrote that it's about having a sense of vision to be able to see a little bit around the corners that are coming. You want to keep your folks out of trouble. So the ethics of avoiding problems before they arise is a big part of leadership. So I believe in that. I believe in giving people a vision and then giving them all the energy that you can to let them go do that and co-develop it with you. And I believe, truthfully, the best leaders ask a lot of questions. They really listen to what the answer is and what's missing from those answers. Ultimately, when one is doing that with as much self-awareness as one can put together, that'll work.
What are the strategic priorities of GSA's Federal Acquisition Service, or FAS? We will ask Kevin Yule Page, its deputy commissioner, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.